You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and my discussion with Dr. Betsy Dresser, a leader of the research team at the Audubon Center for Research of Endangered Species. We also have photographs of some of the animals we've been talking about and will continue to talk about. If you'd like to see those, click the purple Look While You Listen button that you see on my homepage at TalkZone.com. Our phone lines are open. It is February 26th. If you'd like to call and ask a question, call 888-463-6748. We're still hoping that James Rollins may call in and say hello to us, because the facility, the Audubon Center for Research of Endangered Animals, was featured in his latest novel called Altar of Eden. And Dr. Dresser, in the book, obviously, in addition to talking about the actual science that is taking place at the real facility, which you work at, he also paints a picture of people who are using some of these sophisticated and rather futuristic scientific procedures to do some genetic manipulation and engineering of animals that could be considered rather scary and dastardly. And I think a lot of people are fearful of that. So one, how would you kind of respond to the idea of, you know, these hypothetical situations? Is this a worry of yours? And, you know, what would you want to really say to the public about what they may read and fear could be happening?
Well, I think, you know, any scientific tools you develop, they can be mismanaged. I mean, it's like we should never have developed electricity because there's the electric chair or something, mm-hmm, you know, along those lines. I think nature itself, at least in my opinion, in many cases, kind of controls the outcome of some of the scientific things that we, you know, we try to advance. And I just don't think we're going to have these freaky animals that, mm-hmm, you know, that Jim Rollins wrote about, maybe. I mean, obviously that was just in his, you know, playful mind, if
yes,
you will.
Yes.
And so I'm not too worried about it because I have heard and seen, you know, different experiments that folks have talked about, because I read all the scientific journals and, you know, people kind of come to meetings and present these things. And I think overall, a lot of scientists think that a lot of these things are going to be naturally controlled through nature. So I guess I'm just not too worried about it. I'm more worried about losing the species.
Yes, and I can see that. And I, as you were talking, I was thinking about any time that there's a powerful tool. And, you know, we can think about all the things throughout our lifetimes and centuries ago, you know, the automobile, mm-hmm, and space travel and science and energy and nuclear power and the powerful, powerful tools that can, mm-hmm, be used for great good. And then, of course, in hands of writers,
yeah.
often, or in movie makers, we take it way to the extreme. And I think we like toying with that and playing with that. But of course, sometimes there is that fine line, you know, when it gets into the ethical, you know, can we do something, but should we do something? Mm-hmm. And obviously we know in the early days, as you said, the talk about cloning and, you know, the misuse of it, everyone was all up in arms. And I think it makes sense that, yes, you know, there's things that we, you know, would really be very doubtful of using cloning for. But in a case of what you're doing, it just is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about another one of the animals that you have at your center and how it sounds like some of the work you do is leading and building on other work, meaning the story of Mr. Green Jeans.
Our glow-in-the-dark cat, right?
Yes, yes. We have a cute, adorable little, like, orange tabby-looking kitten, and this is photo number 14, named Mr. Green Jeans. Tell us what you were doing, the work you were doing with Mr. Green Jeans.
Well, what we would like to do is prevent some of these cats, be they endangered or even domestic cats, from some diseases that they contract. And one of the things that we think we can do is by diseases, in some cases, genetic diseases are produced by genes. And so if we could stop these genes from producing the diseases by what we call knocking them out or just overriding them, then that's what we'd like to do. And so to do that, we have tried to insert genes into the cat genome that will override genes that produce diseases. So with Mr. Green Genes, what we did is we inserted a jellyfish protein or a jellyfish gene that produces a green protein in jellyfish, but also would produce a green protein in the cats. And the only reason we used it was because we wanted to use it as a marker. In other words, if we put genes in and they did or did not override certain genetic diseases, and we didn't have a marker on them, we couldn't tell whether we were successful or not.
Mm-hmm.
So and this is not harmful at all to the cats. In fact, it's going to lead down the road to probably help saving a lot of them. But when we put this marker in there, we put it in the embryo. And so that was Mr. Green Jeans' embryo. And so then, of course, when he was born as a kitten, if you put him under black light, like you'll see in one of those pictures, the green protein glows in the dark. And so all it said to us was, hey, you guys were successful. You put these genes in, and so now you can do it with other genes.
And so it looks like his nose and it's his ears and...
Actually, he would glow all over if you shaved him.
Oh, okay, showing through his skin, but his fur blocks some of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he was hairless, he would glow totally. And we have since bred him naturally to just a common domestic cat. And his son now glows green, so we know that the genes are being passed on.
Okay. And otherwise, Mr. Green Jeans just is a happy, normal cat.
Yep. And one of our scientists has him at her house. So he's a nice, happy cat.
Yes. And in fact, I obtained a little bit more information from Sarah Burnett of your staff about Mr. Green Jeans. And I have that slight article also later on or further down the page in my photos if anybody wants to read that. And also, as well as more of the story, your history of the center. There's a whole article about that, you know, tracing basically the development and all the projects you've done. But I also have a couple more pictures in the time we have of some other animals that you had worked with to basically reintroduce. And here, the Mexican gray wolf.
Mm-hmm.
What was the story of this animal and how are they endangered?
Well, again, this is a partnership with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they own these animals. And because we have the space out here, we had some adults that they wanted us to try to reproduce, which we did. We bred them naturally, and they produced pups. And so the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service removed the animals to release them down into New Mexico. And, you know, that's a little bit of a controversy because a lot of the farmers there, you know, are afraid they'll kill their livestock.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, these animals were found in Mexico and up into Texas and New Mexico. And so, you know, that's actually what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does better than we do. We're just here to help, you know, produce the babies.
And then releasing them, and I see there was a whole family that you were able to release into
right.
the wild.
Uh-huh.
Is this an ongoing project, Dr. Dresser?
Well, it was for a while, Susan, but right now, because of the controversy of their release, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service will tell us if they want us to produce more. So right now, it's kind of on hold. But meanwhile, the other thing that we did do with them was collect sperm and freeze it and, you know, just have it available.
Okay, and how about this gorgeous bird, the African saddle-billed stork? Tell us about these.
Yeah, aren't they pretty?
Yes, by the way, I can describe it. By the way, I can't tell in this photo how tall they are. How tall would this bird be, would you say?
They're about 3 feet tall.
Okay, and they've got these long, spindly legs, and then they've got this beautiful plumage, this white and black, and a lovely curved beak, kind of like an egret or a heron. And then its bill is red and black and red and yellow. I mean, it's so striking. So that's for anyone who doesn't have the photograph in front of them right now. So tell us about these birds.
Well, again, these, and I'm sorry, they're about 4 to 5 feet tall.
Okay.
I was looking at their legs, and that's what I was thinking.
Right, that's okay.
No, they're very tall birds and very beautiful birds, just, you know, becoming more and more rare in Africa. So we just have we just have them here to breed them naturally, again, because we have the space. So that's just a natural breeding program. And then right now, they're going to other zoos because what the, as you mentioned before, the species survival plans, we're trying to put together a program for release jointly between all the organizations. So we're just here to produce more chicks.
What kind of projects, new projects, are you working on right now, if you can say?
Well, we're doing a lot of antelope research, embryo transfer, where we're trying to take embryos back to Kenya on these African antelopes that we're working with so that we could take some embryos and put them into females there where the babies are born into the wild. It's a whole new kind of reintroduction project because then they're born with the immunity, really, that they acquire from these wild mothers.
Okay, so wait, help me understand this. So right now you have some of the embryos here in your frozen zoo.
Right.
And what is the reason why some of the wild ones need your help? What's happening in the wild that they're not reproducing?
Well, a lot of them are poached, or the habitat's being destroyed, and their numbers are dwindling. There's areas in Kenya where we're working with these antelope called bongo antelope.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just becoming low in number because, our species, humans, have taken over where they are. So they're extinct in some areas in Kenya where they once were. And so what we're wanting to do is just take embryos, again, new bloodlines as well, because they're in the embryo, over to Kenya where babies are born. So instead of releasing the adults or taking actual animals over, you'd be carrying embryos, frozen embryos, and then putting them into wild mothers where they'd be born into the wild.
Okay. That gets rather complex, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a very complex project. We're also working continuously with gorillas with in vitro fertilization. We produced the first gorilla from the test tube baby approach, if you will, the in vitro fertilization. So, we want to go on doing that work as well.
Since we mentioned the bongo antelope and a gorilla, of course, I'll post a photograph of those later because obviously on my website, my point as an educator is to have photos of the animals we talk about will know. So I'll do that with the antelope. Oh, I hadn't realized that you also had worked with gorillas.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose my last question for you, Dr. Dresser, is, through all this in your career, are there certain experiences or events that you'd say have been most memorable for you?
Well, I think, most memorable are when the babies are born, as I mentioned earlier, as well as the experience of being with these animals in their countries of origin and, mm-hmm. and getting to know the people that, have the potential to care for this wildlife.
So you get to travel a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it is
now,
fun.
Now, are you still also teaching at the university?
Right. I work more now with graduate students around our facility, and then I guest lecture at the universities. I just don't have time anymore to do formal courses.
Mm. Yes, well, it sounds like you're quite busy. And when do you expect your new book to be out?
Well, I'm waiting for the last chapter, which includes this cloning and stem cell work. So probably sometime next year.
Oh, well, I will look so forward to that. My guest today has been Dr. Betsy Dresser, leader of the research team at the Audubon Center for Research of Endangered Species. You'll find the link to the center's website, www.audubonInstitute.org/research, and some additional information about the center and the glowing cat, Mr. Green Jeans, on the page of photos on my website, wildaboutpets.net. You can also watch the segment about acres that was on television on CBS's 60 Minutes. Dr. Dresser, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome, Susan. Thanks for your interest.
You're very welcome. I will be at the Chicagoland Family Pet Expo at Arlington Racetrack in March on the 19th through the 21st. It's a great time with plenty of entertainment, exhibitors, vendors, a cat show, and dogs abounding everywhere to meet and pet. So come out and see me at the Wild About Pets radio show booth. For information about the show, see their website, www.petchicago.com. Thank you for listening.